For those who have been joining us in our journey in the book of Psalms this year, please turn with me to Psalm number 60. And for those of you here with us, please also follow along. I'm in correspondence with a young lady who lives in College Station in southern Texas. She was my secretary when I was stationed in South Korea back in 91. She was military, I was her boss. And now that we're both retired, over many years since the military, we still keep correspondence. And she's very weak in the faith. Her husband is Jewish, but very kind to Christians. He's been around a lot of Christians. He rejects Jesus not only as Messiah, but he also rejects the concept of even the understanding of the Hebrew God of the Old Testament. He's secular, but he's a very gentle, kind, respectful man. I've talked to him on the phone. He calls me Pastor Bob, even though I'm not his pastor. But I've told this young lady down there in Texas that the book of Psalms is a place that every Christian needs to run to. The book of Psalms, most of the Psalms were written by David and others who were not having a good day. And there are times and seasons when you and I as Christians, not every day the sun's going to shine. Some of your greatest adversaries may be those of your own family. Neighbors, co-workers, maybe the college professor or maybe the high school coach. Once they know that you're a believer and you love Christ, you love His Word, you automatically become their enemy. And there are those who are passive, and then there are those who are very aggressive in their hatred towards us as God's people. And so I tell people, flee to the book of Psalms, because in Psalms you find Christianity 101. There you find where the rubber meets the road. There you find genuine, authentic people who are crying out to God when the sun just doesn't shine and the birds just don't sing. Did you catch? Look at the verse 1. O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Something's going on either in the life of David or in the life of his men or in the life of this nation at the time. They're facing an obstacle, and that was the king of Edom who now is coming against them. And they're sending their troops into harm's way. And David desires the presence of God and the peace of God as he faces this obstacle. And beloved, you and I face obstacles every day. Some of them small, some of them great. I survived the heart operation 22 years ago. I'm still ticking. Just before the national lockdown, I became a cancer survivor. And been clean ever since. We have obstacles. But there are sometimes we have spiritual battles. We have fear. We have doubt. Sometimes we even question whether God is hearing our prayers. Have you ever been there? Let's be honest. There are times when you think as you pray to God in a moment of deep anxiety and sorrow, you feel as though your prayers go no higher than the ceiling and then it bounces to the floor. He says, thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it, healed the breaches thereof for its stinking. Thou hast shown thy people hard things. Beloved, there are times that God does take us through the valley of humiliation. There are times when God does take us to the woodshed to teach us a few lessons. Life is not easy. Life can be hard. And for God's people who are trying to remain faithful in a world that doesn't love us, that's hard. Many Christians today have stopped running their race. They've laid down the banner of the cross. They simply want to hide and hope that Jesus comes and takes them home. Well, beloved, we don't have that option. There are times when God's people have to go through those hard times. Sometimes, beloved, those hard times come because I'm the one that acted foolish. I'm the one that said something I should not have said. And now I land myself in the doghouse because of my own sin, because of my own foolishness, because of my own weakness. Verse 4, thou hast given us a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You ever hear that hymn, His Banner Over Me Is Love? If you ever heard that, that's where it comes from. It comes from that verse 4, was the genesis of the motivation for that particular hymn and that particular line in that hymn. But then I love verse 6. God had spoken in his holiness. See, in our congregation, I've been taught over the decades to be a Bible believer. We got too many people today who are Bible doubters. Do you realize that in a recent poll done by Lifeway that sells books and commentaries and Bibles and the Barna Research Society, they only polled those who claim to be evangelical believers, Christians, born-again believers. Guess what? Over half of those who were surveyed don't even believe in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Not even the creation narrative. I do. And I was steeped into evolution when I was in high school. Until salvation came to me and told me that I was the fool and I was the one that needed to get wise unto salvation. The same group of those who were polled, over half of them said that Jesus is simply one way to God. Now these are evangelical Christians sitting in our churches right now, even in Topeka. And if you would ask them, is Jesus the only way? Over half would say, well, no. What's going on? What's being taught in our churches? You can only do so much finger painting there in the church nursery before you have to mature and become a soldier of Christ, a soldier of the cross. Over half of those that were surveyed believe that law or nothing is absolute. Everything is relative. You have your truth, I have my truth, and we'll just get along. What about the Ten Commandments? That's not relevant. This is nothing more but a reflection of God's character. He's holy, and we by birth and by choice, until we're saved, are unholy. Isn't that ought to make you feel a little bit disturbed if you are a true born-again believer? Why are over half of those who took the poll claiming to be born again don't even believe the Bible? They don't believe in a global flood. They don't believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. So my question to you, my dear friends, is what do they believe? And then finally, in verses 11 to 12, even though David and his men feel as if God is somewhere else and they're facing an adversary, notice that David's faith doesn't waver. Give us help from trouble. For vain or empty or useless is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. One of the things, as I close out this particular lesson here, one of the things I want you to notice when you read the Psalms, most of the Psalms has the same pattern. David will start off in the dumps. He starts off in a valley. He starts off really low, and he simply vents to God. There's nothing wrong with holy complaining. The Reformers taught that. The Luthers, the Calvin, the Melanchthons, the John Knox. They taught us that when you really get a handle of the book of Psalms, this is where God's people go to God with holy complaining. Now, it's one thing to shove a fist in God's face. But there's another thing to simply look up, and there's times when we do ask God, why? Lord, where are you? Did you get the sense? David is wholly agonizing. And then normally David's Psalms ends on the Mount Everest. How does he end it? Give us help from our trouble, for vain is the hope of man. Through God we shall do valiantly. He don't sound that way in the opening verses. He doesn't sound too confident. He doesn't sound too assured of God's presence. But after he gets done venting to his God, notice how he is exalted with jubilation and praise. And all that he can do by faith is the God that he thinks is not there. He makes his final appeal to the God that he knows was always there. And so may the word of God bless you and find a home in your heart. Amen.